Victoria College is a public, open admission college. Our mission is to provide educational opportunities and services for our students and the communities we serve. For more information, please visit us at www.victoriacollege.com to schedule your tour.
Welcome in to episode 82 of The Grid. I'm Gabe Myers, and alongside me, as usual, is Mike Foreman. Mike, a lot going on, East-West baseball, softball around here. Track state is coming up. Kind of an off week for track, but we got a lot of folks that'll be in the state track meet. Regionals this week. I had that wrong. Regionals this week. Next week's the off week for track. You will be going down to Kingsville this week. You'll be down in good old Kingsville, Texas. The chilies down there. I love places with the chilies because I do the chips and salsa while I write, even though my diet doesn't allow me to do chips and salsa. But, you know, cheating isn't bad every once in a while. You'll be down in Kingsville. I'll be back here in Victoria. We have a lot going on here. St. Joseph football has a new coach. We can talk about that a little bit. You were out in Cuero yesterday. I was out in Goliad. But let's start here because this is something that's shocking to the two of us. And it's Victoria East baseball. We're in the last game of the regular season, and the Titans are fighting for their playoff lives.
Yeah, we never expected that. Not with this senior team. I mean, everybody just assumed that this was their year, and of course
begin the season. It looked that way.
Yeah, it did, and all the tournaments, for the most part, played really well, and then they've had some hiccups in district, and their situation is, it'll depend on Friday night when they play Corpus Christi Ray. If they win, they'll play West for the second seed in zone. If they lose, they have to play GP for the third seed. And if they were to lose that game, they're out.
Yeah, the Titans, they got to win one of the next two just to even make the zone playoff. No, I think for baseball, and again, you can't take anything as a guarantee. Mm-hmm. The North Zone is stronger than the South Zone. So I'm confident in baseball that the third seed in the North, whether that's East, West, or GP, whoever that is, could go and beat the second seed in the South. I mean, we saw, East beat, you know, Flower Bluff 10-0 earlier this year. They beat Carroll, they've beaten King. The North is stronger than the South in baseball. We'll get to softball later. I don't quite feel the same way on the softball side of things. But East is in – I mean, Ray is looking like a team that's found its rhythm, which, speaking of, Ray has one loss in district, and it's the first night of district of Victoria West. Shout out to Jay Perez and company over there being the only ones to knock off Ray so far in North Zone. That's been – for as surprising as East has been, where it's like, wow, they may not make the playoffs, West being – you know, they're in the district playoff here. They control their playoff fate. Shout out to Jay Perez and the Warriors over there.
Yeah, they've been looking for consistency, and they seem to have found it.
Well, Aiden De Leon and DJ Martinez have a lot to do with it.
Yeah, when you have two good starters like that, that makes a big difference. But not only that, I think they're just playing better all-around baseball. Yeah. I mean, they're not
– they're playing cleaner baseball.
Yeah, that they're not letting those big innings, you know, happen where they just fall apart. And that's crucial. And as long as you've got two good pitchers, like you say, they're going to keep you in your games if you field the ball.
Yeah, and there's a – we talked about for West for the last few years, it's been – you know, inevitably something's going to go wrong and the team falls apart. And you saw that a little bit early in the season where they, you know, adversity hits and they just start to crack. You're not seeing that now. You're not seeing them crack under that same type of pressure now. So it's a testament to Jay Perez, the players on that team, for they've built up some mental fortitude and it's paying off. They control their postseason fate, which at this point in the year, that's all you can ask for.
Right. I mean, let's face it, they're going to play Miller Friday night, which they should win.
I mean, they won
26-1 or something like that the other night. They beat Miller, then they know they're in no worse position than playing for the second seed.
Yeah.
They're either be the second seed or they'll play.
And East actually, East plays seed. Before them, so they'll know.
Yeah.
They'll know ahead of time what the situation is there.
And the good thing about that for West is, even though coaches don't like to talk about this, they don't really have to throw their ace.
Oh, your starting pitcher could change.
That's right.
If East wins, okay, maybe you throw DJ Martinez, who's been
Martinez threw.
Or he threw two. So maybe you throw De Leon.
Yeah.
If East loses, okay, you throw De Leon and you're playing for the second seed next week. Or you're the second seed and you're playing for the playoffs next week. If East wins, okay, have De Leon on the shelf for Saturday.
Right.
Throw out whoever you want to throw out there. Beat Miller a lot to a little, which we all anticipate, and get ready to play for the second seed. And, hey, a tiebreaker against your city rival on Saturday.
Right. And East is in the position where I know they threw Goldman against
– They threw Goldman.
Against Ray, although I'm assuming Braddock Raven will start against Ray on Friday. But now Goldman didn't pitch that many innings. I have no idea what his pitch count was. So by Saturday, I would think that he'd be able to come back and throw at least some. So, East is in that situation. It's a must win almost. Now, let's say
Goldman threw 66 pitches.
Yeah. So I think it's a 66. It's maybe a three-day layoff. Yeah. So technically Wednesday, he could pitch Saturday.
He could pitch Saturday potentially.
So, but here's the thing. I think if East can somehow beat Ray, then East knows it's in, regardless of what happens against West.
Yeah.
I mean, whether it goes in as third or second, it's in. So that takes a lot of pressure off them. However, if they lose – Then they're in a must-win situation.
They're playing Gregory Portland in a do-or-die game. And that game, it's so – because usually when you get these, like, okay, a fourth seed tiebreaker or whatever, you don't think of it as a game with a ton of consequence because it's, oh, well, they're going to go and just lose in the first round or whatever. But I think either East or Gregory Portland is capable of winning a district play-in and winning a first round or maybe even beyond that playoff series. So it becomes – that game becomes so crucial for the 5A playoffs, I believe.
Oh, yeah. And, I mean, let's face it. East does not want to miss the playoffs again. It's been like 2-3 straight years now. And,
I think 19 was the last time they made the postseason.
Yeah. So, I mean, you look at that. And, of course, West has had the long drought. So
yeah, for West, it's since 17.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's like you don't want to get in that habit. And, I mean, everybody just assumed that this was the year that East would be back. And for whatever reason.
We certainly did.
For whatever,
it looked that way for a long time.
Yeah, for whatever reason, it hasn't worked out. And but they like we talked about, they still have a chance to salvage a very good season, actually, because, once you get in and you start over. And
this district's so tough, too. It is one of those things, like, let's just get in, play someone from outside of this 90-mile radius, and let's go.
Yeah, so we'll see. I mean, they just have to be ready. Be very interesting Friday night.
Yeah, that'll be a fun one Friday night. And then potentially Saturday ball at Riverside as well. We'll have to see what happens. Mike, I was in Goliad yesterday. The Tigers closing in on their first district championship since 2017, and they played Aransas Pass, we don't got to put it too mildly here, they're just not very good. 16-2 was the final over there. Goliad very much just kind of going through the motions in that one. I mean, look, they came out first two innings, put up 16 runs, and then they start, you notice the roster size was very big, and there's a lot of JV players in there. You get those kids in, get them some, get them some time on the field. They ended up winning 16-2 and 5, and this is a Goliad team that they haven't won a district title since 2017, and they're closing in on that, two wins away from accomplishing that outright. And last season, this district went 0-4. District 29 went 0-4 against District 30. Goliad knows that. They were part of that 0-4 last year, and they want, they want to win in the first round. They want to. I talked to Coach Quintanilla yesterday. He wants to compete for a regional championship over there. They played London in the they played London in non-district. London's one of the best teams in the entire state. Certainly the kings of this region for the last few years now. They know, they feel like they know the level that it takes, and they want to take their shot at the London Pirates once again. So a couple wins away from a district championship, that's a big goal for Goliad. But their sights are set in the postseason. They have goals they want to accomplish going into May.
Yeah, that you know, that region is tough in 3A. I mean, you've got, Columbus, you've seen. Houghtsville, if they put it together, can be a very good team. So I think, you know, it's going to be whoever comes out of that region will be pretty tested.
Yeah, that region is always, like you said, it's really good. I think it's Hallettsville lost to London last year, what was it, in the regional semis?
Or regional quarters.
Regional quarters. And that, you know, London's kind of the team everyone's shooting for, but it's like Columbus is, again, I was very impressed with Columbus when I saw them. I just think Hallettsville's best baseball is in front of them. Maybe it's because I like Levi Montgomery so much. I'm saying that, but I just have a feeling that Hallettsville's best baseball is still to come over there. But this is, and talking to Goliad players, coaches yesterday, that's just the 8 seniors on this team. This group's been together for a while. They want to do something that hasn't been done in a while at Goliad, and that's really where their eyes are set right now is finishing off this district championship, which as long as they just do what they're supposed to do, it's like West playing Miller. It should just happen. And then you look at the postseason and hey, let's go win over there. Mike, you were out on the softball diamond yesterday. You were down in Quero watching the Lady Gobblers wrap up their second consecutive district title.
Well, I was watching the ball fly out of the park, that's for sure. Quero, it's 6 home runs. 5 seniors combined to hit 6 home runs was pretty amazing, and Navarro hit 2 as well. So I mean, there was some hitting going on in that game. Quero is just 1 through 9 can hit the ball, and you know, so they, if as long as they play defense, I think they have a chance to make a run in the playoffs. I think they're going to start off with Wimberley, because that's the district they match up with, and that's what it looks like. And, of course, you know, Wimberley's good in everything. So it'll be no slouch in the first round.
I mean, just the name right away to get Wimberley in the first round. That's, as a district champion, you're not thrilled to see that across
the country. Well, the same thing happened in basketball where the girls had to play at Navarro in the first round. So, I mean, you got a tough first round game, but if you win that game, that kind of gives you a head start going in the playoffs. I'm just really impressed the way they hit the ball. I mean, like I said, they don't waste too many at bats, and they get after it. And you know, I know probably Carly Pullen, who hit 2 home runs and a double last night. She was the starting pitcher, and she gave up some runs last night, but that's not typical of her. So I mean, I know she probably feels like she can do a lot
better. I wonder
better.
If that's almost good for Quero, just as a wake-up call as to, hey, you know,
yeah,
because Quero's been just, you know, they've been the hammer and everyone else has been the nail for the last couple of months now. So just to have a couple of close games. You mentioned last time we were on here, Lavernia gave him a run. To have this one where, hey, Navarro puts up some runs, we know Quero can hit the ball. That's not any question with them. But just to have that little bit of stress on them, I feel like that could just be a good thing for them.
Yeah, and that with those seniors, I mean, they're so good that they don't, you know, that's when you have 6 seniors like that out on the field, that's a pretty good start, because, you know, those girls have been through a lot, and they don't panic. And so I think that's a plus for them going into the postseason.
Yeah, and we got plenty going on in softball here in Victoria as well. St. Joseph looks like they're gonna share the district title with Austin Hyde Park. Those are the number 1 and number 2 teams in the state, by the way. So that potential state semifinal meeting over there. But at VISD, Victoria West, Victoria East, and Gregory Portland all tied for the North Zone title. We get our favorite, these little round robin 3-way tiebreakers. West played Gregory Portland down in GP on Saturday and lost. GP now travels up to Victoria on Thursday, tomorrow, recording this on Wednesday. They will play East in a district championship game. East lost twice to GP during the season, but it hasn't mattered so far because West beat GP twice, but GP rectified that one. So that's easy enough for everyone to follow there. This is, I mean, what a season this would be for Coach Melissa Buck and the Titans if they could win the North Zone title, go and play for a district championship here next, you know, here next week. That would, I mean, just what a season that would be for Victoria East.
Yeah, it'd be great for the program, yeah. I think. Just the fact, you know, even making the playoffs, yeah. But to play for a district championship, that could really turn that program around because and, you know, they've earned it. They haven't, you know, just kind of backed into it. They went out and they did what they had to do. And
I mean, they beat West twice this year. Oh. I mean, they've beaten West three times in a row, which East hadn't beaten West in 5 years until my first week on the job last year.
Yeah, just all of a sudden, you know, that they turned it around and you know, they've been hitting the ball.
Oh, they can mash.
And we'll see, you know, when if they come up against GP, whether they're going to have to – they have to play clean.
They did not play – so I was at the game when they played GP here back in – this was mid-March, so we're looking about a month ago now. I was at that game. East did not play a clean game. East got in its own way a lot. And GP's pitching to the – you know, to its credit – you know, it shut down East largely. Mia De Los Santos hit a home run, but she does that every time I go to an East baseball, an East softball game. But East is going to – they need to play clean. I think they're better. I think East is better now than it was a month ago. And this is – I mean, they can really mash with De Los Santos, Tati Rocha, Mia Micaiah Amador, Madison Lemons. And that – I'm curious to see who pitches for East, because if you can get both Mia Micaiah Amador in the field, that helps them out a ton defensively versus if one of them is on the mound and it just takes one of your premium defenders out of the field. Madison Lemons is excellent at shortstop. She's probably the best defensive shortstop in our area. But I'm interested to see East. This is as big a moment as maybe the Titans. How long has it been that for the Titans softball program to have a moment this big? I mean, what a win this would be for Victoria East if the Titans could get it. This is, I mean, what a moment for them, to opportunity to go play for a district championship. And if they lose, if the Titans lose on Thursday, they're playing West on Friday. Winner gets second, loser gets third. I think that would be a massive game. Because while in baseball, the North is stronger than the South, I think in softball, the South is a little bit stronger than the North. So I think, one, getting North Zone title, automatic bid, you're a top two seed in the postseason from the district is great. But then I think the two seed from the two seed from the North is going to have a heck of a time with the three seed from the South. So that's going to be that becomes a really, really big game. And another East-West game. Who doesn't love that?
Yeah, that could be. We could have baseball and softball have an extra East-West game.
Yeah, back-to-back days as well. And you'll be down in Kingsville for track. I'll be at Riverside on Friday. We have a busy weekend ahead of us.
Yeah, Mike. It's these regional meets. I mean, of course, this determines who goes to state. You know, the top two finishers in each event. And then they have what they call a wild card, which is the best time or the best mark from that event makes it to state as well. And a couple of interesting things we're looking at here for this week. I think starting off in 5A, well, are we going to have someone from East or West at state or not? We're going to find out. I mean, Sanaya Randall,
Barfield.
And Zoe Barfield have chances. And then that East 4x2 relay has a shot. And I want to tell you what, I may have to research this, but we'll wait and see if anyone makes it. But if that's the case, I cannot even tell you the last time East or West had or a VISD, let me put it that way, has had a person medal in a running race at the state meet. I can't even remember. Now, Riley Redding won a silver medal at the pole vault a few years back. And her medal was the first medal won by a VISD person in like 20 years, since Michael Cooper, back when we had Stroman and Victoria, had won, I believe it was either the discus or the shot. So let's face it, traditionally Victoria has not been known for its running events, but we'll see if maybe Sinai and East can change that. And then you go to 4A. I'm looking to see whether Oliver Miles, who is did the 50 triple jump last year at State, could duplicate that. He said he wants to break the record of 51-something. Now, he's gone 48 this year. So we'll see, but, you know, you just never know what happens.
Hey, weather's starting to warm up. Those muscles get a little bit loose.
And then 3A, what I'm looking at is girls. Can Goliad finally match Randolph? I mean, that's been the issue there for the last few years. And I saw Randolph at the area meet, and they are loaded. But Goliad has a lot of depth, and their mile relay team actually had a faster time than Randolph. The question is, can Goliad get enough points around that to maybe get a chance at a title? And then, of course, in 2A, it's Kenra the Refurio boys and girls repeat.
Having Ernest Campbell helps.
Yeah, that helps. But Refurio's relay times have been challenged. And like in the mile relay, they go in. It's going to be probably Fall City, Refurio, and Mason. And only two of those teams are likely to make it unless they can get a wild card. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot at stake Friday and Saturday as we go to the regional meets.
Is there anything that you're like, cause you'll be down in Kingsville. Is there anything you're like looking forward to seeing or looking forward to finding out about? Because like you've said it a bunch of times on the podcast where it's just how you run the race that day. It's not how good you are or have been. Is there anything you're really looking forward to or really curious about?
Well, there's a couple of things. One is how far can Oliver Miles triple jump? I want to see that. The other is we've had this kind of competition, although they haven't really faced each other, between Kayla Albers of Fall City and Sierra Tilly of Refurio that have been shot and discus that have been really close to each other. And that could be interesting.
And they'll actually be at the same place.
Yeah, they'll be at
weekend.
The same regional meet competing against each other. And then
it's always a little different when you know something. It gives you a little extra juice.
And then, of course, you know, we have the relay down there, which I'm real curious on that mile relay and even the sprint relay. I want to see what happens in the 2A division. 4A, Cuero De Silva, Emery De Silva, she dropped a lot of time at area in the 100. And I'm curious if she can get below 12 seconds at the regional meet. So that's kind of some of the things I'm watching for. And, you know, there always are surprises, and then there aren't surprises. You know, it's kind of funny. But, you know, it's like I said before, it's how you do on that day.
It's how you do on that day. And big weekend, regional weekend coming up for regional weekend coming up for track, and a bunch of baseball and softball tiebreakers and scenarios here in Victoria. I was talking to a media guy in Corpus this week with just the tiebreakers, and there's actually a crazy one in baseball in the South. Three teams are tied for second in the South zone in baseball right now. And when I talked to him about a potential four-way tiebreaker last week, he's like, I'm not looking forward to that if it happens. Can we just have first, second, and third and get on with it? Nope, we're not going to make it that simple.
When you have zones, this is what happens.
This is what you get. This will be the last, this spring season will be the last time for at least a couple of years that Victoria will be competing with Corpus Christi schools. I mean, it's crazy because going back to when it was Stroman and Victoria High and, you know, Victoria Memorial, it's always been, you know, Victoria's always competed with Corpus and,
except for a couple of years there where they sent Victoria towards Fort Bend. Yeah. And actually, Victoria Schools would be going back to Fort Bend in basketball and baseball.
Sports.
Yeah. So that'll be interesting. It'll be tough for basketball, but I think baseball will actually benefit.
Yeah, I think baseball will benefit. That court, if there's one thing Corpus does really well, it's baseball. They really do well. Softball we'll have to kind of wait and see. Although I think both East and West are kind of, the programs are, they've kind of taken a step this year. Now both programs are going to be losing some really, really valuable seniors, but programs kind of seem to be taking a step in the right direction over there. But yeah, this will be the last time I'm competing against the Corpus schools for a while. So, you know, I used to live in Corpus. I like going down there. Why would the UIL do this to me, Mike? Me and Courtney Boyce are asking the same thing.
Well, I think you might want to ask the Corpus superintendent that. But anyways, yeah, it's going to be a busy week. And don't forget, you know, golf is going on.
Golf
too.
Is going on.
Tennis will be.
Tennis has their district meet this week, East and West at the district meet down in Corpus. Yeah. Harper Edwards for West played her first round down in McAllen today. Jonas Roth for East, he finished 27th, I believe, on the just sophomore over there. So looking for big things from him going forward into the future. So Harper Edwards missed state by 2 strokes last year in golf. So we were talking today, like, you think she'll make state? It's like, she's got to, right? Senior year, you missed it by 2 strokes last year. Actually, a former TAP state champion when she was at St. Joe, obviously. UIL a little bit, you know, just a little bit stiffer competition. But she, I mean, again, 2 strokes away from state last year, and she's been one of the best golfers in the region this year. So it's all kind of coming to a head right now. And then we'll have the summer, and then we'll be talking a lot of 7-on-7 football.
Yeah, and also we're still waiting to see what happens at East. Who's going to replace Charlie Reeve? And Nixon Smiley is also looking for a coach. So, you know, it's like we said, football is all year round in Texas. So, you know, those are some things.
And
St.
Joseph just hired a coach.
Right. Jacob Vasquez, who is actually a graduate of St. Joseph, is coming back.
01, right?
Yeah, to run that program.
And as we learned on Twitter last night, was voted most likely to coach St. Joseph in high school.
Yeah, so so he's back with the Flyers, and he'll also be coaching track as well. So a lot of things to be talking about and be looking forward to in the next week.
Yeah, and then we just decided on all area basketball. Those selections are written in pencil. Nothing's in Sharpie yet, but those selections are written in pencil. We made our Varsity Cup selections here at the Advocate as well. So we are Mike, we don't we stay busy over here.
There's no doubt.
We stay busy over here, but that'll just about do it for this week's episode of The Grid, episode 82. Mike, Jason Witten. I'm not a Cowboy fan, but I'll throw a Cowboy in there when it's appropriate. Jason Witten, the best in NFL history at getting 8 yards on 3rd and 12.
Yeah.
He was the best in NFL history at picking up 8 yards on 3rd and 12. That's my little rib to the Cowboys, because I'm not a Dallas Cowboys fan. But, guys, thank you so much for tuning in to this week's episode of The Grid. We'll see you back here next week.